Welcome to the podcast. This week, Glasgow University students took over a student union space that had been closed down. I'll be talking to Jack Ferguson, SSP member and former Scottish Socialist youth organiser, about the occupation. If you want to find out more about what is going on in the Hetherington Postgrad Club, have a look at the SSY blog, ssy.org.uk. The first track, Into the Fire, is from a Cornish band, 13 Senses. I've taken the soundtrack from a YouTube video showing the unfolding events in Egypt. I've placed the link on sspkempsey.podbean.com. Please watch it. This goes out to the people of Egypt who are fighting for their freedom. As JFK said, those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable.
It's very bad for my government. I haven't food, I haven't anything. Me and my children, I will die today. You will demand your goddamn rights, and we will have our rights, one way or the other. We will never be silent. You.
Tonight, and since it's dying, pull out from one extreme to another. From the summer to the spring, from the mountain to the end.
Playing in the street again. Don't you know what happened down there? A youth of 14 got shot down there. The cocaine guns are jammed downtown. The killing clowns are blood money men. Shooting those Washington bullets again. As every cell in Chile will tell the cries of the tortured men. Remember the day and the day before, before the army came. Please remember Victor Harvey in the Santiago Stadium. Ever died, oh, those Washington bullets again. And then the Bay of Pigs in 1961, a banner for the Playboy in the Cuban sun. For Castro is the color, is a redder than red. Those Washington bullets want Castro dead. For Castro is the color, the color new spray of lead.
Irish left ground. Ahrar ma yakhafoon.
Amel, vas-y.
Asrar ma yamutoon. Soot el marfoon.
The second track you heard was requested by Eddie Truman. It was, of course, The Clash and Washington Bullets. The third track was Tunisian singer Amel Mafluthi singing at a candlelit vigil in memory of those who lost their lives during the recent revolution there. Again, I'll place the link to this superb piece of footage on sspcampsie.podbean.com. Okay, Jack Ferguson is in the Hetherington Postgrad Club in Glasgow, where students have staged, well, something more than a sit-in. They've reopened the club. Anyway, Jack, first of all, why occupy this space?
Okay, well, there's a group of us who have been involved in student activism around the rising cost of education, both early and higher education, and around the massive cuts that have taken place to education. And really, the next stage we wanted to take it to, beyond just protesting in Glasgow city centre, is we wanted to have a space where we could organise and we could bring people together long term for building a really solid foundation for fighting back against the changes that are taking place in education. So that's one reason for being in this space, is it provides us with a base for that kind of work. But this space was a much loved building, and it was one of the first victims of the current programme of cuts at Glasgow University. It was well used, by the whole university community, and we are here with the aim really of saving it. And what we've done is, our main demand, as far as I'm concerned, is that we want this space reopened for the democratic, autonomous, collective use of students on a non-commercial basis. And the university didn't have to grant us that. We walked in and took it. We have the space for the community.
Jack, what are the demands? What are the wishes of those people who are occupying the Hetherington at the moment?
The most important demand for me is that this building is reopened. It's allowed as a space for the use of students, for the use of the community, and again, that's something that the university administration, I mean, we've demanded of them that they reopen it on the basis that we're running it with funding from the university, but in the meantime, we're making that happen in practice. But on top of that, we have political demands that we're making of the university management. I mean, there's the obvious demands that relate directly to our occupation, which is no security, no cops on campus, and no repercussions from the university for anyone who takes part in the occupation. But on top of that, we're also demanding that Antoine Muscatelli, who's the principal of this university, stops coming out and promoting cuts and condemns the cuts, and himself takes a cut to the wage of an average university worker. We're also demanding an end to all redundancies, an end to the voluntary redundancy program here, no cuts to courses, no cuts to student services, and our solidarity with everyone resisting the austerity program, and end to the wider program of austerity that's affecting everyone in society.
instincts are a copious chaos of a love and war. I lay up all night worrying. At 3 a.m. the stars against the blackness could betray a feeling of things close at hand I thought were far away. But now a sudden wonder and a fear of something new. The world will breathe relief and then resume. We're trapped in here together, but you're free and I'm alone. The only thing that I want is a place I can call home. The snow has finally fallen and it's cast a spell of doom, but your loneliness will finally free you. Now
Glasgow artist The Cara C, one of my favourite singers at the moment. I'll play more of her stuff and give you some background on her in future podcasts. In the meantime, if you want to find out more, contact her at Sarah C on Twitter. Jack, when a member of the Kempsey branch left a donation of food into the Hetherington the other day, he described there being a lot of political posters and in particular Basque flags on the wall. In the Basque country, political activists run bars and community hubs called chocos. Is the future you see for this space one of political activism and resistance?
Well, although obviously primarily, like, this is just a space for whoever wants to use it, however they want to use it, socially or whatever, we should remember that it's a political occupation and we're here with a political aim. So yes, absolutely, at the moment it's an activist space and we want to maintain it for that as long as we possibly can. I visited the Basque country last year and I was absolutely inspired by the network of movement bars and places they have where they can go and socialise together, but particularly the youth houses they have there where young people take over a building and they make it an autonomous space for young people to use and organise politically but also to use socially. And one of the things I'm really hopeful, however this occupation ends, whether we reopen the building successfully or not, is that there's a group of people here who will gain key experience so that in 10, 20 years' time, I would like to see in Scotland the kind of culture that exists in many places around Europe, not just the Basque country, where young people have a space that they control that's autonomous, that's non-commercial, that isn't run for them, it's run by them. And the experience we're gaining in doing that here is something that hopefully can be applied later to expand that kind of culture to Scotland.
Have the university authorities said anything about the future of the building since the occupation?
The university authorities, as we understand it from information we've received, were on the point of changing the nature of this building, taking out all the bars and social spaces and turning it into some kind of office space. We're not entirely clear what. Now, we moved in before they were going to do that building work in a kind of last-ditch attempt to save the building for what it was always intended for, which was the use of students as social and student union space, basically. At the moment, we've had no official contact from the university management. All our interactions have been with security. But, I mean, our long-term aim here is to be in this building for as long as we possibly can. We've reopened it. We've made it a working building. We've made it available for all kinds of groups from the university and the community to use. And the more people come in and use it, and the more people feel like it's their building, the harder it's going to be for them to close it again. Because they closed it last year. They just did it, and everyone was shocked and surprised. And there was a campaign to save it, which made a new business plan for its operation, everything which university management just disregarded. This time we took direct action, we've moved in, we've reopened the building, and this time when they close it, they're not just telling us we can't use it, they're going to be telling, you know, the English Lit reading group they can't use it, they're going to be telling the Hispanic Society they can't have their language exchange here, they're going to be telling community groups they can't come and have their meetings here, and they're also going to have to drag people out of the building, so it's going to be harder and harder for them to, the longer we're here, the harder it's going to be for them to close it.
What about the National Union of Students, the NUS? Have they said anything about the occupation?
I mean, in terms of the NUS, it's important to bear in mind Glasgow University isn't actually affiliated with the NUS. As far as I'm aware, we haven't had much direct contact with them, although I believe they may have made some kind of sympathetic noise as to what we're doing. We have received the support of, here at Glasgow Uni, the Student Representative Council President, Tommy Gore, who came down and said what we were doing is a good thing. But, I mean, essentially it's taking place by autonomous activists outside of the structures of the NUS, as things stand.
Your heart is in the air, you can't remember where it is. Woo! Well, once upon a time, not so long ago,
that was The Agitator, their track Heart Isn't In It. Jack, I see that there are events planned by the occupiers. Will there be room for others to use the building for events? And, you know, I'm thinking of superb live music used to go on in the postgraduate club. Are there any plans for bands and DJs and things like that?
Okay, well, we've already got a pretty full programme of events. Like, even in just the 2 or 3 days that we've been here, we've seen a flood of people wanting to come back and use the building. I mean, today we have the first of a series of guest lectures given by various members of lecturing staff. There's a philosophy lecture today on the ethics of private property. There's also a film showing tonight, hopefully the first of many film showings. We're showing the Baader-Meinhof complex, followed by a discussion. All kinds of meetings about all kinds of different issues, interesting discussions. In terms of putting on nights like the building used to do. I think a lot of us would be interested. That we certainly had a whole queue of bands and DJs interested in coming to play at the building. We aren't quite in a position to do that just yet, because on Monday we're hopefully going to have a discussion about the practicalities of that, given that obviously we won't be selling alcohol here, and you know, if people are coming in for a night, we need to have a proper process there, how we manage that security wise. But certainly I think we're aiming to, I mean, this was a social space, it is like a social space again, people are coming in during the day to use it and have a coffee and relax. We want it to be a social space throughout the day, and people who are really invested in what this building used to be to get their building back, and that includes things, hopefully.
Okay, thanks Jack. That was SSP member Jack Ferguson, one of the occupiers of the Postgrad Club. As I said at the start, this is much more than an occupation. The young people have brought this space alive. If you're in the Glasgow area, why not pop in? Okay, I'm finishing the podcast with a singer who has in the past played in the Hetherington Postgrad Club, Roy Mahler, and his track 6 Degrees, followed by Thief Action, who offer us the advice that if you have a conservative friend who's supporting the ideological cuts on our education system, why not just dump them?
Suddenly say too much about conspiracy and JFK. If bullets hadn't flown in that way, would you and I have happened today? But November 22nd, 1963 might be so far removed from you or me. You're telling me everything's connected by underground seas, rivers in the clouds. Not 7 but 6 degrees of separation. Hell to heaven's not 12, 11 but 6 degrees of separation. I have occupied a place on this planet for some time now. I know who set this up and then who ran. It's like some unsolved crime on radio. Connected by underground seas, rivers in the clouds, spirits in the trees. Here to heaven's not 8, not 7 but 6 degrees of separation. Hell to heaven's not 12, 11 but 6 degrees of separation. I can't do the mathematics. I don't know how I feel about fanatics. Everything's connected by underground seas, rivers in the clouds, spirits in the trees. Here to heaven's not 8, not 7 but 6 degrees of separation. Hell to heaven's not 12, 11 but 6 degrees of separation. Telling me about 6 degrees, telling me about 6 degrees, telling me. But 6 degrees telling me, but 6 degrees, a universe, a lonely sea, washing all over 6 degrees, a universe, a lonely sea, washing all over 6 degrees, a universe, a lonely sea, washing all over 6 degrees, a universe, a lonely sea. Washing all over 6 degrees, telling me, but 6 degrees, telling me, but 6 degrees, telling me,
but 6 degrees. It's like anyone in your circle of friends who veers to the right and dump it. It's what's called conservative. We'll be right back.
Any Tories left in Ebervale?